This show is brought to you by Safety FM.
What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Today is episode 2 of our quarterly co-host with the amazing Sam Neill. Let's jump into the intro. I'll tell you some more about it. Let's go.
The problem in safety isn't deviation, it's complexity.
Health and safety has gone mad.
Health and safety is trying to unpick having gone mad in the past.
There's no one solution and one problem. The problem is that we are looking for one solution.
Does the structure of the team allow them to flourish?
Feel safe enough to be uncomfortable.
The environment defines our behaviors.
People aren't the problem, they're the solution.
Rebranding Safety, crushing a stereotype. Brought to you by Risk Blue.
What's up, peeps? Welcome back to Rebranding Safety. Rebranding Safety is a YouTube channel and podcast doing exactly what it says on the tin. So if you're here, if you're new here, hit subscribe, bells, all those magical algorithm buttons. Rebranding Safety is brought to you by Risk Fluent. That's our company. Risk Fluent's kind of always been sitting behind Rebranding Safety. And Rebranding Safety is essentially our campaign as a company. But Risk Fluent is the company that sits behind it. And we do lots of things, but primarily we are a health and safety consultancy. We deliver two types of services, technical and transformational. Technical is the health and safety we all know and love, right? And then transformational is that more cultural behavioral type stuff, human performance type stuff. So if you kind of built that foundation, you're looking to take the next step. We tried to take everything we learned here on the podcast, everything we've learned from academia, and everything we've learned from taking all of that stuff and just trying it in the workplace. So if you need some health and safety support, long-term partnerships, one-off stuff, fire risk assessments, training, whatever, give us a bell. If you want to take the next step in your kind of health and safety / operational risk maturity, then give us a shout. If you've had an incident, you want some help, give us a shout. You can email me direct, james@riskfluentlimited.com, or you can go to riskfluentlimited.com to get yourself some more information. Check out the stuff in the description below. Everything you need to know is there. So today's episode then is episode 2 of our quarterly co-host. Don't know what quarterly co-host is? It's basically where we get somebody and we have them for a quarter and they become a co-host. They can do whatever they want. We can just chat about one topic over a period of 3 and it's just me and that person, or we can get people on to jointly interview them. We can do it's an open book. So if you've got something you want to talk about, something you're passionate about, something you think, I'd love to just talk to these 3 people, but I don't really want to do it on my own, don't want to interview on my own, I haven't really got a podcast, but I'd love to do it, let us know. And that's what the quarterly co-host is for. So come on, share your ideas, share your opinions and so on. And the quarterly co-host is the best place for you. You get 3 episodes. It really is truly an open book. We can talk about whatever you want to do. And on this quarterly co-host, if you haven't caught episode 1, it's a great episode and it seems to be very well received. Sam and I basically are talking about our consultancies. We're both very new in our journey as self-employed consultants and entrepreneurs and side hustles and all of that fancy shit that we all talk about on Twitter and TikTok nowadays. It looks fucking cool as shit. So we took some time to get out of our Lamborghinis and come here and tell you, you know, how to just 10x your life. And it's because of all of that bullshit that we thought we'd come on here and be honest. So this is episode 2 of Honesty with Sam Neill and James McPherson. I'll let Sam introduce the concept and himself a little bit more. I'll see you at the end of our conversation. Right, mate. Welcome back to episode 2 of your quarterly co-host.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
Well received, the first episode was, mate. Very well received. Quite a few.
Good. Yeah, it's good. That's really, really good to hear. Really, really good to hear. I'm hoping there's a few people out there that are thinking the same thoughts as us and took something away from it.
Yeah, I'm hoping there's a few people that have gone, I'm fucking glad someone's been honest about this shit, because it's not easy. I'm hoping that's a little bit of people have appreciated the kind of honesty in it. And also, I think it's helped someone that I would hope it's helped somebody that is just thinking about going there, as we will do over the next 2 as well, hopefully.
Yeah.
So today we're going to talk about, well, I should probably let you tell us what we're going to do, because you're a co-host instead of me just treating this like it's the James show.
I can certainly do that. So today is us talking about kind of building up to take in that jump. And we've both got slightly different ways that we did this, which will kind of help us kind of, I guess, give a slightly different version of events and context. Some of the kind of preparation that you will need to do, and you know, some of the learnings, I guess, that we've taken away from that. The unknown unknowns, so the things that we didn't know, and kind of learned lessons very quickly, and then some of the, I want to call them tricks of the trade. I don't know whether that's really the right phrase to use, but some of the advice that we've been given by others that run businesses, both in health and safety and not, the good and the stuff that we've kind of hooked into and used, and the not so good, maybe the ones that
the cheeky stuff. Let's call it.
Yeah. The stuff that's always met with a bit of a, you're not quite sure about that self.
Okay. But I understand it.
Yeah. Get the notion. Get why you do that. I'm not sure it feels comfortable to me. But yes.
Diplomatically put, Sam.
Yes. So obviously, kind of building for the jump or getting ready for the jump is kind of one of the key things that we're going to talk about. So how did you do it? What was your preparation or the build up to the jump like for you?
The consultancy was very much the same as the podcast and my entire career. Kind of think fast and work it out as you go. Fly by your pants kind of thing for us. So as you kind of alluded, maybe we kind of pretty much went through the reasons why the jump on the first episode. But for me, it was quick. It was really quick for us. Within like 2 months, we'd gone from fully employed, staying at the company with a vision of like probably about 5 years-ish, or, you know, at minimum, probably 3 to 4 years kind of plan, that then moved on to the consultancy, blah, 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 blah. Had a business redesign, kind of was like, don't like where this is going, blah, blah, blah. Put the fingers out, made the jump. So we were like, okay, we need to prepare for this. And we've got like a couple of months. Like, we haven't even got a couple of months. So we didn't hand the notice in straight away. We prodded around for a little bit. And I think the first thing that we did was just poke around and build up people that would want to kind of subcontract us, which everyone refers to associate work, which we'll kind of talk about as well in a bit. So kind of work out who could give us associate work, how much associate work there was, and then do some maths, work out as well. Probably the most important bit for us is work out how much money do we actually need. And then I spoke about kind of that being a really, I think in the first episode, I spoke about that was actually a harder thing to do emotionally, like cutting some of the stuff out of the house and the impact on Maggie as well and stuff like that. And then it was all right, okay, now if we kind of know what we need, then it was kind of building a buffer, which we've probably done very, people are like, hang on a minute, that doesn't make sense, because it kind of doesn't make sense, but it does make sense to us when you kind of explain it. Basically, we needed to build a buffer to account for a couple of things, kind of a bit of a capacity to fail. If we didn't quite meet the mark 1 month, we had a pot of money there. And then also to allow for like payment terms. And that was probably the big first shock for me, was like, oh yeah, people don't just pay straight away. People wait 30 fucking days, some 60, some 90 days before they pay you after you've done the fucking work. And I'm like, I don't like that. And then we were like, okay, we need to account for this, because we start in January. We could potentially do all of January and not get paid till mid to late February. So we need a buffer for those payment terms. So the big kind of thing for us was like, okay, and we got a personal loan whilst I was in a salaried role, and then just left the salaried role, basically. So we didn't, the bank manager doesn't know this, but we got a great salary coming in, consistent, Thanks for the loan. Okay, I can quit now. It's literally like that.
See ya.
It was literally like, and that's kind of a bit weird because you're like, hang on a minute, you're upping your monthly outgoings to pay your monthly outgoings. Like, yeah, kind of. And the easiest way we looked at it is like, we're just buying ourselves time, right? That's all we're doing, is buying ourselves time to build a foundation. And it was reasonably good rates at that time. So we got the loan and it just sits there and we take out of it whenever we do. And we actually left it. We actually lived off it for a while, even though we were getting money in that could pay the bills. We actually lived off that and didn't bring any money out of the company to then transfer our buffer over into the company. And with the foresight of just like, leave the loan there as long as we're paying it, just leave it there. And it's, we kind of look at it like we wouldn't have our company if it wasn't for that loan. So it was very different from a nice, lovely, planned, consistent, you know, I've saved for a few years. Yeah, that's not me. We don't work like that. It was hectic, but it's kind of worked.
Yeah. And you are where you are today because of the kind of situation you're in.
Exactly. And I think the big thing for me was, like, not only paying our bills, but keeping the standard of living that we've kind of come accustomed to, right? Like, I didn't want, as I said in the last episode, like, I didn't want my decision to go self-employed and then, you know, bring Sherry in and it became our decision as a family. I didn't want to be like, we come to resent the company because we're having to, like, downsize the house or sell the dog or, you know, whatever. I wanted to make sure Sherry still did her hobbies. I did my hobbies. Maggie had her toys and stuff like that. And we've managed to do that and probably more, if I'm honest. So it seems weird getting a loan, but actually it's probably been the best thing for us. Really helps. What about yourself?
So slightly different to you, where I set the business up at the same time as having a full-time role. So I did all the formalities in July last year and gave myself like ample time to do all the kind of website and kind of set up the business, get the logo all sorted, and then start putting a bit of time into, you know, building all those management system bits, the policies, the procedures, the tools, the resources. So mine was not slow, but it was certainly a bit slower and steadier than your situation. And then as I explained sort of last time, my partner kind of told the world, and was fortunate to, you know, you just use holiday and do bits at the weekend and bits in the evening. And I was doing a bit of associate work, so working for other consultancies to start kind of building that buffer in the business, getting some money into the business, which was quite nice because it enabled me to get a few things wrong, but, you know, without the pressure of knowing that was my only source of income. So, you know, having to go and speak to accountants and understand how best to set up the business, getting the online accountancy software, getting that all set up, you know, learning how to invoice, because it's not something I've ever really done before. And it's not difficult. It's not overly complicated, but I'd never submitted an invoice. And the first couple of invoices I sent were wrong. and I overcharged because I'd basically cocked up the mileage that I charged. And rather than charging 45p, I charged a pound. And the person I was doing the work for came back and went, it's a little bit more expensive than I was expecting. Are you really charging £1 per mile? I was like, oh, no, sorry. And I obviously went back and redid the invoices.
Sam, you should have just turned around and said, yeah, fucking hell.
Yeah, yeah, it's expensive. So it gave me the ability and almost the confidence to make those little mistakes and fail a couple of times, knowing that it wasn't my only source, my source of income, and just trial things, see how things work. You know, different templates, different resources, different services. I did a gap analysis for a client came back and kind of went, well, that didn't really work, and I didn't quite like how that worked, and was able to kind of tweak and tailor. And then, you know, as we discussed last time, more work came in, and I took the decision to leave full-time employment and go into the business full-time. Again, being open and honest and candid, I'd got a bit of pot of money put away, saved nicely, and I sat down with my partner and we crunched the numbers and worked out how much we needed each month. And, I knew that the money that I'd got would keep me going, so I didn't have to take a salary from the business until the new financial tax year started.
Yeah.
Which was good. So then a little bit more sort of pressure was relieved that actually I can go full tilt in the business and not have to worry about sort of the financial burdens and implications that it can have. I don't like talking about money. I hate it. But, you know, fortunately this month I was able to pay myself for the first time, which was amazing and a massive milestone. I printed off a payslip that I got from my accountants, and that's now sitting next to me because that's fundamentally one of the reasons that keeps my family going, keeps a roof over my head. So, that was nice. So I there are things that I would do differently, definitely. But I think the time that I allowed myself just to kind of dip my toe in the water and see how things works has certainly helped. Obviously a reason why I'm still going, I guess.
Yeah. I didn't think to print off my first payslip, but that's pretty cool actually. I might still.
Yeah, it was really nice. I can't remember. I think I was having a coffee in the morning, and I got the email from the accountant, and I just let off a little woohoo.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, nice. And do you know what? It's one of those situations where you go, shit, this is all very real. Okay, we're in it now. And it was good. It was good. Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of talking about money, but it was a big, big moment, big milestone for me. So I was pretty chuffed.
I feel a bit disappointed in myself now. I remember the first email I got, and I was just like, okay, cool. I just
carried on. You just carried on.
What's this? Okay, Picasso, I like it. That's literally what I was like. I was just like, yeah, I'm a bit kind of, maybe I should have symbolized it a little bit more, celebrated a bit more. But yeah, we had to backdate a few of ours because we hadn't done it for a couple, and our accountant was like, you need to like backdate it. So I'd like 3 pay slips at once. And I think I just.
Balling.
Definitely not. Definitely not balling. But yeah, I like that actually. I won't do that. That's really nice.
Would you have done anything differently? If you did it all again, would you have done it in a slightly different way? Or do you actually think the way that it happened sort of suited what you were doing?
Yeah, when you said like I would change some bits, I thought in my head like would I? And I don't know. I think I am I'm an all or nothing kind of guy. I'm like with my hobbies, I'm all in it. I don't do anything else. I learn everything about it. All the gear, no idea. Like I'm that guy. Like I was just this morning, like I've kind of decided rugby and running a company. It's not a good idea when your primary service is you being able to get out on the road. So I pulled my calf and I couldn't even limp for like a week. I was like, this is a bad idea. So I was like, maybe rugby shouldn't. So this morning I was going through my shit and I've got this like brand new rugby gear that I just brought like 2 weeks ago. And now I've decided I'm probably not going to like, I'm deep end or nothing. There is no shallow end. I'm like that kind of weirdo. And I think that I was kind of so comfortable and safe in a salaried role whilst still frustrated, but I was safe that there was this nice little vision of running my own company one day or my own consultancy one day, that I was always just sitting around waiting for this one company to come out and offer us this amazing contract as a consultant that then was like, oh, now we'll go because we're nice and safe. So I actually don't think I would have jumped unless I was pushed. So I don't think I would have changed anything, actually, going back on it. I don't think I would. And ultimately, I'm kind of like, it's worked. So, you know, so far it's worked. But so this part of me is like, it's worked. That's good enough. So I'm like cool with that. If I'd have had more time, it would have been nice to learn about a load of shit that we had no idea about, because it was a baptism of fire and it was really stressful. It probably only just started to now relax a little bit with it. And to your point, when we were chatting offline, like, and you mentioned it on LinkedIn about kind of taking some time for yourself, like, I think only now we're starting to do that and not freak out all the time. So yeah, ultimately I don't think it would suit my personality to do it slow. I think I needed to be pushed. Yeah.
Some people do, don't they?
Yeah, I definitely, once that decision has been made in my head, like, I'm like a fucking horse with those, what they're called, blinders on. Like, yeah, that's what I'm doing now. Like, the second I made the decision, I was like, how am I noticing now? And Sherry's like, we literally just decided we've done nothing, no planning. I'm like, I don't give a shit. I want to go now. But I've made my decision. Like, I've left the company already within a second. So it's the same with me in everything I do. It's all or nothing. I nearly said something quite crude there. We're either all the way in or not at all. So would you? You've just worked out what I was going to say.
Yeah, I have. Yeah. Took a moment.
Yeah. Scott News screwed up one year at Christmas and said it live on Radio One. If you need a hint as to what.
Is there anything I would have done? I think the amount of time was right. I think if I'd have taken any longer, like you, I probably wouldn't have done it. Yeah. I think, and I guess this kind of leads quite nicely into the kind of preparing and the unknown unknowns and the stuff that we've learned. I think the biggest thing for me would have been to have slowed down a bit and not focus so much on being a health and safety consultant, but focus on actually the business side of things. And I think I've learned that quite a bit over the last couple of weeks with just various conversations that I've had with people and, you know, friends that are looking to start their own business, and they've just asked for a bit of advice. And, you know, the health and safety consultancy side of things, you know, I'm not an expert. I'm not going to say I'm an expert. I'm a generalist, but I understand what I need to do and what I need to kind of provide and what the why is of the business, which we went through in the first episode. What I really should have done is just kind of sit down and think about, well, what are my goals? What are the aspirations? What are the dreams around the business? And thought really big, you know, thought really, really big. Where do I want to be in the next 3 years, 5 years, 7 years? And then kind of worked backwards from that to understand sort of what I wanted to achieve in the next month, quarter, year, 6 months, whatever it might be. Because what I've found is you get very much caught up in the day-to-day stuff.
Mm.
And you don't ever get that opportunity to think broader and wider and long-term. And so I've set myself the last couple of weeks, I've set myself some challenging goals, some achievable goals. I put a post on it about it on LinkedIn yesterday, and it's almost like a bit of a weight's been lifted that I've finally got a bit of direction. And hey, look, you can apply this. This doesn't have to be for consultants. It can be for anybody in any career. It's just to take some time and think about where you want to be in the future, because that will help you kind of build that journey of how you get there. I was watching a program the other day, and they were talking about I don't know, Navy SEALs or something appeared in it, and they used the I don't know if it's a platitude, if that's the right word, but slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Mm-hmm. I think it's the SEALs. I apologize to the military out there if I've got it wrong. But that resonates with me all the time now. Is just slow down, think about what you're doing, what you're trying to achieve, where you want to go with this. Don't just go at it kind of held to leather, pedal to the metal, because that's where sort of those mistakes and those bumps can happen. Mm-hmm. And I was listening to another podcast the other day. Sorry, mate. I was temporarily cheating on you for a second. Do apologise. He presses end immediately. This is over.
Co-host bullshit is over.
I was listening to Johnny Wilkinson on the Diary of a CEO podcast.
I'll let you off. That's a good podcast.
And yeah,
a good person to listen to.
Very, very good person. I've got a big rugby fan myself. Got a lot of time for that for Johnny Wilkinson. And he was talking about, and I haven't got this perfectly in word to word, but he was talking about sort of a similar thing in his career and how he looks at sort of objectives and goals now. And he said, you know, you can be, there's almost kind of three levels. You can be all you can be the best you can be, or you can be the best ever. But to be the best ever, you have to make sacrifices and focus so solely on that one thing to be best ever. You know, if you want to be the best you can be, you're still going to have to make sacrifices, because you're going to have to be the best and you're going to have to push yourself. And actually, being all you can be sat really nicely with me, because I can be all I can be in business, as a health and safety consultant, as a dad, as a partner, as a brother, as a son. And I've sort of weaved that into some of the goals as well. So they're not just business ones, they're actually personal ones that will help my, you know, help me, you know, live life better and enjoy the things that I want to enjoy. So, yeah, I think that was a very, very long way of saying I wish I'd have just slowed down a little bit and just taken my time to understand what it really was that I was getting myself into.
Are you naturally quite a thorough person anyway? Because, like, it's interesting that mine was really quick and just not thorough at all, which is really my kind of personality, which is kind of why it's really important that if any future clients are like, well, I'm not going to fucking James, he's not thorough, he's just going to throw some bullshit on the wall and hope it sticks. Like, you know, my work, I'm thorough at the vision I had. Like, I knew straight away what the vision for the company is. I knew that when we price jobs with the model in our head that we might at some point outsource it, we might need. So everything was always, I'm a future person. Like, I don't kind of live in the now, I live in like 20 years, 30 years ahead, which has its pros and has its cons, right? So like, I'm not really thorough with the business now, because I'm like, right, where are we in 20 years? But then who I'm really lucky to have working in the company, she is 100% a now person. Like, she's detail orientated. She's living in the now. So why piss her off summit rotten when I'm like, you know what? I think we can add this service line to like Risk Fluent. And she's like, we haven't even fucking nailed this existing service line, James. Like, can you just come to just at least bring yourself into like a monthly thinking model? Like, you can think a month ahead. You know, I'll let you have that. Like, because I'm like, oh, do you know, in like 2050, I think we could do this. So there's like pros and cons to that. But it's interesting that I'm kind of like, actually, I'm really comfortable with how quick and messy ours was. Like, I kind of thrived in that. Yours was kind of, in from my opinion, quite thorough anyway, compared to mine. And your wish you would do, which what you would change, is like slow down and be more thorough. So interesting that two completely different dynamics.
Yeah. And I think I wouldn't necessarily say I was an overly thorough person. I mean, I'm a bit like you in some respects, where I'm all the gear, you know, no idea, but going to buy all the kit and making sure I look nice and shiny and then trying to make things up as I go along. But I think because I subconsciously, because of what I was doing, and I knew the decision that I was making was going to have such a big impact, not only on me, but on others. I wanted to make sure that, you know, I got it right. Now, I knew I wasn't going to get it absolutely 100% right, but I wanted to set myself up for success as best as I could. Now, that still didn't stop me from, you know, from the December the 10th when I hand it, when I left full-time employment, I just went hell for leather. And, you know, someone came to me and said, oh, can you do this next week? Yeah, of course. Not a second thought about, you know, from a planning perspective, as actually, is that going to work with everything else that's going on?
Yeah.
And I'd go downstairs at the end of the day from the office and I'd say to Karen partner, oh, you know, I'm out on the road 4 days a week. And she'd be like, well, hang on a minute. Like, well, how's that happened? And then the work that I was doing would require me to do some work in the evening. I couldn't do it the following day because I was out on the road. And all of a sudden, I just got a little bit, I wouldn't say out of control, but just wasn't thinking ahead as much as I wanted to.
Yeah, you were kind of working in the evenings and that.
Yeah, and that's, you know, going back to the why that we talked about, that wasn't why I set the business up. So I'd sort of gone from one situation into another without really thinking how my why would fit into the business objectives and the aims. So I think it was just to spend a bit more time in what do I want to achieve? What do I want to do? And I've never, you know, fun enough, I've never done that in the, you know, the years that I left university. I have never sat down and thought about, you know, where do I want to be in 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 10 years?
Yeah.
I don't know why. And you always get that really awkward conversation, question at interviews. Where do you want to be in the next 5 years? I've got no idea. I can tell you where I want to be tomorrow. But I can't even tell you what I'm having for tea tonight because I've got no idea.
I always answered that question with a really arrogant response, which I would
in your seat.
Yeah, I was that guy because I know what I'm like. Like it wasn't from a point of arrogance. It was more from looking back on it, it definitely fucking sounded arrogant, but it was never intended as arrogant. It was always like, that's genuinely what I want. Like everything in my head was always like, I've got to get to the top. I don't know whether that's come from childhood or what, but it was always like, oh, all right, I'm an advisor. How am I getting that head of safety job? Always. I was like, so every time a manager said, where do you want to be in 5 years? It was always, if I'm honest, I want your job. So I've always kind of been that guy. And Sherry has always hated that I say that. Only ever had two managers that responded well to it, and we got on really well and still do now. The others, I think, were just like, found it as a threat or whatever, but it wasn't from like a, I'm better than you. It was from a like, that's just genuinely my aspiration is always just achieve the best we can, which is also not good sometimes. Put a lot of pressure on your work and that, but yeah, it's interesting. It's really, I really love this actually, like the different dynamics and how we look at stuff. I found, Sam, I don't know whether you feel the same. I actually found having a safety background really fucking helpful, like really helpful, because I just kept bringing everything back to the basics of like, right, let's just make a risk-based decision. Like what's the risk, what's the pros, what's the con, and where's our capacity to fail? You know, what happens if we fail? And I pretty much apply those two questions to everything that we do in the business. Everything we do, whether we're going to spend money on something, it's like, can we do it? What's the risk of doing it, not doing it? And if it goes wrong, what's going to happen? How do we have the capacity to deal with that? And I literally apply that to everything now. Everything, that same process, and I found that really helpful within the business. Like, should we get an accountant? You know, Sherry was quite keen to like do a lot of it herself. I was keen to outsource the entire lot because I cannot stand any of it. So I was like, just get rid of it. I hate it. I don't want to do it. And like, Sherry's time and skill could be spent doing better things for us. So we kind of met halfway house, some stuff she does and the rest of the accountant does. But the same thing in my head was, okay, what's the risk of not having an accountant? What's the risk of having an accountant? And if it goes wrong, we get a bad accountant, for example, how do we fail safely? And can we fail safely? I did that for everything. I don't know if what you thought, or whether you found your career kind of helpful.
Yeah, that's I think I probably did that subconsciously. I can't remember sitting there and actually kind of talking those things through. But again, you know, that accountant bit, the thought was, you know, can I do this myself? And the thought process was very quickly, no, I can't, because I don't understand it.
Yeah.
And actually, the risk of this going wrong far outweighs the investment in an accountant. And an offer went, found an accountant, and she's been brilliant. She's helped me structure the business. She's helped me set it up properly. You know, I just said, I don't want to get this wrong. Can you do this all for me? Because I think that's a worthwhile investment. And she's been great and helped me kind of understand some of the implications and the liabilities that I've now got as a director. I think safety professionals naturally over time become quite resilient.
Yeah.
And that has certainly helped. Yeah. You know, that problem solving approach to things of, you know, this is the issue that I've got, you know, adapt and overcome. Can we find a solution that's going to work for me and others? And I've used that numerous times. You know, don't panic. You know, don't blame, you know, if you want to go down that route. You know, this is a learning opportunity, and we know what we need to do to prevent that from happening again. So, yeah, interesting. Yeah, definitely some skills I've gleaned over my career have come to their own and certainly helped in certain situations. Yes, that's interesting. I've never really thought about that.
Yeah, I pretty much apply it to everything I do in life.
Yeah, yeah.
Those same questions. What were the kind of things that, like, the unknown unknowns then, like, for you? What were the things that you kind of had a bit of a glass smash moment, like, shit, didn't think of that?
I think the first one for me, it was sort of a known unknown, but trying to get your head around all the the financial implications of the business. So, you know, you've got that first question, am I going to go self-employed, so I'm a trader, or am I going to set myself up as a limited company? Now, I'm not going to give any advice because I'm not an expert in this at all, but I went down a limited company after, you know, chewing it through with the accountant and getting an understanding of where I wanted to be in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years. You know, do you register yourself for VAT, accountancy software, and getting your head around how that all works, and invoicing and billing, and, you know, I'm not fantastic with numbers. I'm the first one to admit that. You know, if we've got to make any number-based decision in this family, I am the last person. I think Kerry would go to Albie, and he's one before she came to me, because I am terrible with numbers. So the first sort of, you know, known unknown was sort of understanding the kind of the financial bits around the business. The big one that caught me out, I guess, and I needed to understand pretty quickly, was IR35. That was mentioned. I think my accountant mentioned that to me. And I remember sitting there thinking, what is this?
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
what is this? And what does it mean? And you know, I've worked out, you know, the work I do is outside IR35. But I remember literally going down a rabbit hole for about 3 hours trying to get my head around how IR35 worked and what the implications were of me on a business. And I think I sat there thinking, oh, I can't do this. What is this? Help. And my accountant was like really cool. She was like, yeah, it's fine. You know, this is what we'll do, and that's what you need to do, and this is what you do. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, no, I am worrying about this shit because I don't know what it means, and I am going to fall into this trap. And then I had a client ask me to do this. There's a questionnaire on the HMRC website, which basically lets the client know that the work you're doing is outside IR35. And I remember filling that out, like, literally shaking. Like, I thought, my God, you know, if this comes back as inside IR35, what the hell does that mean for me in the business? So I would certainly recommend anybody getting into this, getting into health and safety consulting, on consultancy in any way, shape or form, service providing businesses, they get their head around. You don't have to be an expert in it, but you understand the IR35 implications and the wider sort of tax implications, because it's only going to come and bite you on the arse further down the road.
Yeah. I had kind of heard of IR35 when I was in employment, because we had a couple of like freelancers working in one part of the business, and there was an IR35 kind of expert within the company. And I regret this now, but I just completely shut off whenever they started talking about IR. Like, he was like, oh yeah, just on the agenda then is IR 35. I'm like, great, just I'll just do some emails now for like 2 hours. Like that. And then I left and went full-time self-employed and was like, I wish I'd have fucking listened in those comments. Actually, the first person that mentioned it was myself. I think I was on a call, our little kind of, I don't know, partnership, self-support, like entrepreneur anonymous group or whatever we call it, just me and you. I think you mentioned like just keep your eye out for IR 35. My accountant says not a problem, so it probably won't be for you, but just double check. Yeah. We didn't have our accountant at that point, and we were like in that process of making a decision and getting some quotes and stuff. And I was freaking out. We were doing a lot of work for one company, contracting, and I was freaking out. And I went down the same as you, like a rabbit hole trying to Google this shit. And then we picked our accountant and they were like, oh, we'll just do like a digital onboarding meeting on like Zoom or something. I'm like, no, I'm coming to your office. Can we go to the office? And Sherry's like, yeah, we can. I was like, right, tell him we're coming to the office. I want to see him face to face. I want to talk about IR 35. I want to know who I'm dealing with. And I want to see him. And I want to see them look me in the eyes and tell me this is not a problem or tell me I need to do something. And like, literally, these two girls are kind of, were just onboarding us with like the online system. And I was like, right, is our proper accountant, like Adam, is he here? Yeah, he's here. Do you want to talk to him? Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk to him. Is there a problem? I was like, IR 35, what is it? Do I need to worry about it? He's like, no, don't worry about it. I was like, I'd like to know more, but I also don't want to know more. To me, this is not a problem. He was like, yeah, it's this and it's that, it's this and it's that, it's it. And I literally said, Sherry, did you get that? Because I didn't get anything of what he said. This like tax finance world to me is like Mandarin. Like I just numbers, I'm the same as you. Numbers in my head do not work. I can't even remember birthdays. I can't, dates don't work. Like I'm terrible at it. If somebody asks me my daughter's birthday, I panic and completely forget. Like numbers just don't work in my head. I'm pretty sure I've got dyscalculus, but I've never been tested. I'm self-diagnosed, as they say on TikTok. I just did not get it. And I'm, to be honest, Sam, I'm still not sure I get it now. Like, but no one's come and bit us in the arse. Sherry seems pretty confident. Accountants seem pretty confident. So I'm kind of happy with that. I'm still not kind of get it. And even when you said, basically, mate, you just have to make yourself marketable for other people, I was like, that still doesn't make sense to me. So that was really scary for me. And now I'm probably doing what I tell my clients not to do and just rely on just blind naivety that someone else has got it, which is really bad. And at some point I probably will educate myself a bit more, but I just don't get it. I really don't get it. So that whole world for me is just like it's a stress that I've decided just to swallow and outsource, because it just doesn't work in my head. It does not work in my head. So, you know, that was why for me, it was like, just give it all to an accountant. You know, we pay them to do their job and just we'll kind of vet them to make sure they're good at what they do. And this one had got like quite reasonable references from people that we knew and that. So we were happy there, that whole world. Tax as well. For me, tax is just like, what? I don't get it. I'm literally in there with my accountant. I'm like, right, so hang on. How do I pay for fuel? And I'm sure he's like, are you stupid? I'm like, look, I know this is a stupid question and I've got a lot more of them, but how do you pay for fuel? Do I pay for my fuel on my card and then just claim the business miles back? And he was like, yes. I was like, right, okay. So I don't have to like part fuel my car up from my company car to...
Hey, but it's one of those situations though, isn't it? If you don't know, you don't know. I was with I had a meeting with my accountant last week and we just touched base just to see everything's ticking along quite nicely, and obviously we were talking about setting up the payroll for myself, and you know, just before I was leaving I was like, how do I pay myself? And she said, what do you mean? I said, well, how do I get the money? She's like, you transfer it from your business account to your personal account. Yeah. I was like, what? It's that easy. She's like, yeah. How else do you think the money was going to get? And I was like, I don't really know. I don't know. And I said, am I the first person to ever ask you that question? She went, no. She said, pretty much most people new into businesses ask that question. She said she had someone ring her a couple of months ago complaining to them that she hadn't been paid. And she was like, but you pay yourself. And she was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize. And she's like, look, if you don't know these things, you don't know. And that's why you go and seek, you know, advice and you work with experts. That's why people come to us. You don't know what you don't know. And that's okay. I think the important thing is that is absolutely fine. And you know what? Loads of people have been in that situation before.
We asked the exact same question. All right. So he said, like, salaries and then dividends, like, how do we take that out? And then with dividend, if you go on like the gov.com, if you're going to take a dividend out, it says you've got to have a board meeting. And I was like, it's basically just me and Sherry. Then you've got to have minutes and stuff like that. So we've got kind of like a plan to take some dividends soon. And we were like, okay, so how do we take them? Because like we've got like this meeting thing, and they're like, just take them and we'll deal with it later. We'll sort out all the rest of the stuff. And I'm sure when we were sitting, I was talking to Sherry and I was like, how do we actually get them? And she was like, I asked them, we just transfer it. And I was like, oh, really? Oh, okay. Well, we just transfer it. Yeah, just transfer it at any point. I was like, do we need to do something on system? She was like, no, when they see it, they'll say, what's this? And we'll say it's a dividend. And they'll say, okay, we'll do the stuff. Or what's this? It's a salary. Okay, cool, we'll do the stuff. And I was like, okay, I like it. That's good.
Nice and easy. And I don't know why it is. I think you just think everything's a lot more complicated than it is.
Yeah.
You know, but I will say now, I have a newfound respect for anybody that works in finance and payroll.
Yeah,
I've only got to pay myself and I get myself in all sorts of weird and wonderful flusters. Could you imagine trying to do that for like 2,000 employees?
Mate, I'm so far removed from it that I don't even understand how we do it for ourselves. Like, because Sherry, I'm so lucky that Sherry runs the company, because Sherry does it and then the accountant does it. So there's literally like two layers between me and the money, which is a really good thing, because I'm just like, look, I can do my job. I can book appointments. I can kind of, I think, sell to the customer. I can deal with all of that stuff, the networking, the doing the job, the planning the job, you know, having the vision for the job and then deliver it. I can do that. That's all. That's me. Everything else.
Help.
Like, help me. So yeah, I am so lucky. And another thing I've really struggled with is the very broad term of marketing or sales and marketing, let's say. So like including there of like lead generation, converting leads, networking, good networks, bad networks, in the middle networks, you know, just because I was really surprised. I kind of had this naive assumption. I was like, got a podcast of like 4,000 people. Like, it's easy, mate. You're like 3,000 subscribers. I was like, if we get 10% of them, we're minted. Like, we are laughing. Let's do it. Get the website. Ding dong. Where are the leads? I don't know if you ever watched. Have you watched How I Met Your Mother?
No, I haven't. No.
There's a scene in that. There's an architect in that, and they've all like convinced him to go self-employed. And he's like, "Yeah, self-employed." And he's got like a phone there, and he's like practicing, like, "Hello." Risk-flipped. Like, it's like no one's rang yet, but he's got like branded pencils, branded notepad. Like zero leads. And I'm just like, that was kind of me in the beginning. I was like, they'll come. And then I'm like, I think somebody asked me, like, what about locally? Like, do you know anyone locally? And I'm like, I know quite a few people, like two rugby clubs. And they were like, do you know anyone that you could sell to? And I was like, no, Not one person, actually. Not one person I think I could actually sell to. And they were like, right, you need to find yourself a local networking group or something. And even with Rebranding Safety, which has been on, you know, pushing out content for like nearly 3 years now, I'm like, we'll be at the top of Google. I will be at the top of Google. I'm sure if you, unless you type Rebranding Safety, which is a very specific term, it, that comes up. But if we put in like consultancy Wellingborough, health and safety consultant Wellingborough, Northamptonshire, mate, I went through 20 pages on Google and I still wasn't there. Like, so I was like, right, I need to do that business put like profile thing on Google. So I did that. I'm like, right, I think I've got this, Sherry. I think we'll turn up on Google now. Health and safety consultant, Wellingborough. We're still not there. Like, I'm just like, I have no idea how Google works at all.
This is brilliant because it's so nice to hear people that have done exactly the same as I. I mean, I must have spent about 4 hours trying to work out what the hell an SEO was. Yes. And I ended up at the end of it going, yeah, none the wiser. I think I'm going to scrap that and move on.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So what's your marketing strategy, James? No idea. What's marketing? So we are lucky that we've got the podcast. We have had a couple of leads come through the podcast, but it's a lot slower than I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the and look, you can apply this to a health and safety role in an organization that you are multifaceted. There are so many different dimensions to what we have to do as the sort of business owners. And actually the delivery is just a part of everything else that comes with it. You know, predominantly to a certain degree, you are a salesperson, you are marketing, you are the developer of the product, you are the deliverer of the product, you are the tweakerer and reviewer of the product. And then there are all the sort of administration bits that go on behind the scenes as well at the same time. And, you know, even in a health and safety manager, practitioner's role, you are, you know, a safety manager, you have to market, you have to sell, you have to influence. There are so many different hats that you have to wear. And I guess that's where our careers have sort of helped us a little bit, because we've always had to sell, you know, what's in it for me? You know, that's there was a post on that on LinkedIn the other day, which was really interesting, because at the time I was trying to, someone asked me, I went and met some mates a couple of weeks ago, and someone, one of the lads said, what are you selling?
Oh.
And I went, what do you mean? He said, what are you selling? And I you know, when you get that awkward health and safety stuff. He was like, yeah, but what does that mean to me? What does that mean? And all of a sudden I'm like, oh God.
Exist on this earth.
And so then I kind of went away and I was like, right, I need to start working on what a customer, you know, customer journey looks like. What's in it for them? What are they getting? What's that tangible sort of product or service they're getting? How is that going to make them feel? What are they investing in? And oh God, yeah, all of a sudden I was, you know, that's not a natural skill that I've ever had before. But it's really, really important, because at the end of the day, we've got to sell something. And if we can't articulate really clearly with clarity what that thing is, then why would someone buy it?
Yeah, the classic elevator pitch. Like,
yeah.
I went to, like, I'd done the BNI stuff and I just joined, and my mentor, she runs a legal contracts company. And there's like a real clear connection between us and them. And she was like, yes, we've been waiting for a safety person. Like, there's loads of times we get asked for this and that. And a lot of stuff that they get is more like the compliance. We need systems and stuff like that, which I'm fine with. And I went to this meeting there to like do our first mentoring session, and she was like, oh, I'll meet the team. So blah, 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 blah. They're all lovely people. And then she went, do you just want to explain to them what you do? And I was like, yeah, sure. What do I do? And I walked up there like, Jesus, James, you need to get this elevator pitch down, because I was just like, oh God, that was so bad. I was also distracted that I had a dog there. So I was just like, ooh, doggy. Prepared for somebody to ask my elevator pitch at all.
It's tough. It is tough. And
if I'm honest, I don't think I've nailed it. I tweak it every now and then.
Yeah. And I think that's fine, mate. I think as long as in that moment, you can articulate and give them some sort of experience of some guys.
At least as long as you could get to the point, James, that when they ask the question, some words come out of your mouth.
Never a good. So what is it you can deliver? Never a good response. Silence.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, go on.
Attitudes. So the stuff that you've come across to help with all this kind of unknown unknowns and the unknown knowns. What is the stuff that you've used that's worked? We'll start with that.
So I will caveat this section, like, each to their own.
Yes. Yeah.
Very much on the same page. So it might come across that we're kind of saying this is unethical or whatever. Look, it's just our opinion. And there might be points that I are different from you and you are different from me. But ultimately, each to their own. You've just started your business. Do what you need to do to feed your family, right? Like, I get that. I totally get that. I just might have an opinion that a lot of people don't agree with, I think. Or they might agree with. Easy one. Let's kick off with an easy one. The easy one is saying we instead of me and I. I have done that for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a classic little trick, so to speak. It's kind of technically a lie if you are just on your own. But I'm kind of okay with that. Like, and it works, and I've done it for a very long time. In my defense, I would say that it's not a lie from my point of view, because I've always had Sherry doing something within the company anyway. I'm very lucky that she's been really active in this all the way along. So kind of not a lie, but an elaboration of said truth, maybe. So yeah, that's an easy one that I'm saying is borderline a lie. But I do it. And I get why we do it, to make us seem like we're a bigger company. It's always about, you know, how you're perceived as a company. And I totally get why you would do something. What about yourself? Do you want to take one of the chunky ones?
I'm just trying to think. It's probably one of the ones that I'm not a fan of, although I did say we were going to start with the ones that did work first, but that's they're the boring ones.
With one that works, go on then, hit me one with one.
For one that works, I was going to go with the we as well. You've nicked my idea. I'm trying to think of one now that I've come across that I've used. And I can't, it's typical, isn't it? I can't think of anything.
So I'll take one of the chunky ones, and then we'll give you time to think. I was given a bit of advice of, like, make up a couple of people that don't exist in your business, get some emails for them, and it's you. I totally get why you would do this. And the first time I heard it, I was like, that's a neat idea. Like, that is a pretty clever and cool little idea. The second I went into business and could actually do that, I didn't feel comfortable doing it. Like, and I was just like, and then I became, again, really lucky that Sherry was already in the company. So when I said Sherry in accounts or Sherry, you know, in operations, I wasn't lying. Sherry does actually exist, and she does actually have her own email. But the point would be that you start off completely on your own, and you would say Sherry in account, Sherry in operations, Sherry our general manager, whatever, and Sherry actually doesn't exist. And it's actually you. I wasn't massively comfortable with that one, so I chose not to do that. I've got here first invoice. I don't know.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So I was, when I set up, obviously, the accountancy system that I use, you can, you know, you send invoices out via that. And I was informed or reliably advised to kind of mark up the invoices so it didn't look like my first. So they'll be automatically generated a number. You can change that. And I think, obviously, my first one was something like invoice number 0001. And I was told, you know, do 1001 so that when they receive it, it doesn't look like your first invoice. And I absolutely get the notion. But actually, I was quite proud that it was my first invoice. Mm. And I said, no, it's my first invoice and I'm new to business and I don't mind if people know that. So I stuck to my guns. But again, you know, similar to what you said, I can understand why that would be sort of a bit of advice, because it does look to the business, although it's, you know, it's not your first invoice, it's not your first time that you've done a piece of work, which might, you know, some clients or some customers might feel nervous about.
Yeah, we did exactly the same, got the same advice, but was like, oh, I kind of like that as invoice number one. I like that. So we did exactly the same. It's again that very slim line that we balance on of like trying not to kind of negate the good work that you can do, but at the same time, trying not to be, because we're all in fear of like these massive companies that could just knock it out for cheaper, quicker, faster, right? And I'm really lucky that a few people have said, actually, we prefer to work with small companies, but then they know what the risk is of working with a small company.
Yeah.
Massive capacity is harder to deliver. Yeah, it's hard to navigate. I find that stuff really hard to navigate.
Yeah, and I think the other one I struggle with sometimes is the, I don't know, what do they call it? Like the 5 a.m. club?
Right.
You know, that kind of hustle of, you know, in the gym for half four, workout for an hour, sold a million products by 7:30 and whatever it is. You see it quite a lot on LinkedIn. And sort of my advice to anybody is just you do you.
Yeah.
You know, whatever works for you is going to be the best for you because it works for you. If you're not a morning person, work in the afternoon. If you don't want to go to the gym in the morning, go in the afternoon. If you don't want to make sales calls in the morning, make them in the afternoon. There are loads of different ways. The beauty and the joy of being your own boss is you can structure your day to suit you. One of the things I do use, if I can, is to try and get the stuff that I don't want to do out of the way in the morning.
Mm.
So almost kind of approach those and tackle those things first. So kind of sales calls, I'm getting better at, I'm not brilliant. I'll try and do those first thing because then I won't pontificate and worry and allow them to sort of affect the rest of my day and the work that I'm doing. So I'll try and sort of put them to one side, you know, have those conversations, set them up when I'm feeling kind of ready for them. But, you know, comparison is a thief of joy. You know, don't worry about what everybody else is doing and what works for them. Find your own footpath and your path, because that's going to work. What's best, it's going to work best for you.
And I think that's really important with everything that we've, whilst most, a lot of the stuff we've just said, we kind of say like, yay or nay, we don't like that. But ultimately, I kind of reiterate kind of what you just said, what I said in the beginning, like, do you know what? Ultimately, I don't care what you do, because one, I'll never know whether it's a lie or not. Two, your client will never know if it's a lie or not. And it's just not for me, some of those, that's all. But like, you've got to pay your mortgage, you've got to pay your bills. Like, do whatever you is, and you'll find the clients that like working with you and the way that you run your company. And I'll find the clients that want to work with me and the way I work, and Sam, and so on and so forth. And I think I've experienced from the podcast, particularly our conversation last week, like, I find the people that emanate towards us really, really like kind of authentically building relationships with people. And I'm just like kind of naively/stupidly authentic, like sometimes not even conscious, and just kind of say stuff. I think I probably should not have said that. Harry Potter, you know, I should not have said that. I should not have said that. Like, so, and I think people resonate to that, but then there's loads of people that will listen to podcasts and be like, Jesus Christ, why is this person going on about his daughter, or is it, I'm here for safety, you know? And I'm like, that's cool, man. Go and listen to another podcast, work with another consultant, so on. So I think it's really important. I think you've hit the nail on the head, is kind of just find you and what you are and just roll with it and just go. And then if you go, actually, I don't like doing that anymore, I'm gonna tweak and operate differently.
Yeah,
I'm totally cool with that. And I think people buy, it's a platitude, but people do buy from people, I think, and people will resonate to your personality. You'll build a relationship with them, and then they become your customers. And that's I think that's really important. So like, we're not kind of sitting here saying any consultant that says that does an invoice at, you know, 101 instead of one is bad. I'm not saying that. What we're saying, it wasn't for us. And it might be for someone else. I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's kind of important to kind of point out.
Yeah.
As you did anyway. But yeah, I think it was a good chat. I really enjoyed this chat, actually. I was kind of like, are we really going to sit an episode and talk about tax and IR35? Like, Jesus, I'm not sure this is going to be good, but I liked it actually. We kind of give an insight into like that really weird world of running a company.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Sam, I have Sherry, you do all of this on your own, which is amazing. It's all kind of through you. There's no one else running in the back of house. So like, hats off to you, mate. Like, you must be rammed, because I'm rammed. I'm only doing 50%.
Yeah, thanks, mate. It is tough. It's hard work, and that's why that sort of goal setting, that planning for me has been absolutely fundamental over the last couple of weeks, just because I was literally just running around like a blue-ass fly trying to cover off everything. So, you know, I'd recommend to anyone going into, you know, wanting to start their own business, anyone in a career that's kind of a bit lost and sort of just kind of grinding out day to day, is sit down for a good couple of hours, 2 hours. What is it you want to achieve? Where do you want to get to? What's the next year, 2, 3, 4, 5 years look like? Get it all down on a piece of paper and then start planning how you're going to achieve that. Because it really has been quite... I'm not going to say life changing, but it really has changed the way that I do things.
Mm. Yeah. I think as well, like, there'll be moments, like, there's a couple of standout moments for us where we knew we'd made the right decision. But that didn't come for probably a couple of months. Like, so I think in the early days, you can get so drowned in all of this stuff. Like, I've got to work out my rates. I've got to work out tax. I've got to actually build these products that I want to sell or services I want to sell. I've got to get customers. I'm working for another customer, another kind of I'm a subcontractor, associate, whatever, for these companies. And they want loads of time out of me. And I'm just completely like, is this actually worth doing what you're doing? And to your point, you end up working like 24/7. And there's a kind of joke there, isn't there? Like, you know, I quit my 9-to-5 to end up working 24/7. Like, and it is a kind of joke, but like, you get to a point where you realize actually this is worth it. I think gradually as you go through, you start to design your time a little bit more.
Yeah.
And say, okay, I need to take chunks out here. And I found, you know, being able to just go, I kind of don't want to go into this too much because I think we'll talk about this a lot in the next episode, but having maybe like a lunchtime or an afternoon where you're like, actually, I was just going to do some admin. I've got no clear deadline on that. I'm just going to take the afternoon off. Mm. And allowing yourself that without the guilt, without anything else, allowing yourself stuff like that is really important. So I think there's kind of like a rite of passage drowning maybe in the first month or so.
Yeah, it's learning, isn't it? It's learning and building in that capacity to almost fail, but being comfortable with failing because you know that you're going to. And you know, anybody that's doing it now that is struggling, perfectly normal, perfectly normal. And I'd almost encourage people to embrace it in a way, because it will teach you so much about what works, what doesn't work, and you start to understand what your limitations are. And I think that's really, really important. And it is worth it because, you know, we make a difference. There was a moment, excuse me, there was a moment for me when I got my first testimonial back from a client, which was kind of choked me up a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I'll be completely honest. I asked for one. But what I got was brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And then I was doing some safety leadership workshops on Tuesday, and the safety manager for the business received an email from someone who didn't attend the course, but had got feedback from some of the leadership saying it was brilliant and it's completely changed their perception of safety and they've changed the way that they're doing things. Wow. And he sent that to me this morning. And I was like, wow. And again, I was a bit like, that's brilliant. And it's because, I'm helping that business change, and I'm having an impact on the way that they do things. And those moments are those exact moments with that video that you shared online, those two ladies behind the counter kind of cheering because someone's bought a product. Yeah. Those are our moments, and they're pretty brilliant. They're great, and ones that I'll remember for a very, very long time.
I love that. I love that. And what a beautiful place to nip it in the bud.
Yes.
Really well. Well done, mate. I like that.
Thanks, bud.
Okay, cool. So just give a shout out to yourself. If anyone likes what you're like, I'm like, actually, I fucking like this Sam guy. I think I might get him in and do some work.
Please do.
Who are you? What do you do? And kind of how do they get in contact with you?
So obviously Sam Neil. I run Orchard Safety. You can find me on LinkedIn through the Orchard Safety page or from a personal one, or you can visit orchardsafety.co.uk to have a look at some of the services we provide. Generally speaking, the business does health and safety support partnership packages. We do health and safety training, audits, reviews, that kind of thing. Really, we're just looking to provide a bit of clarity to organisations wanting to get safety right. If you want to get in touch, please do.
Nice little elevator speech there. So you've been working on that, mate.
Trying.
That's nice. I like it.
Thank you.
Cool building.
Yeah, it doesn't work if there's only three floors. I have to go back down and then come back up again. The only trouble is I'm then talking to another person.
Just fast. Right. I made that joke once. They were like, right, go and work on your elevator speech for Hop, I think it was. And I was like, yeah, but how tall is the building?
Empire State Building territory.
Yeah. Yeah, sit down, have a cup of tea. Thank you, mate. I really enjoyed that. Do you want to quickly summarize, hopefully, if you can remember what we're going to talk about in the next episode, and then we'll say bye.
Yeah, of course. So episode three, I think we've sort of badged it as the honesty. So you and I sort of being really quite honest of some of the challenges. So I guess today we've talked about some of the unknown unknowns that we've had to pick up. But the next one are more the kind of challenges and the pitfalls and some of the negative impacts, I guess, from running your own business and the things that we've had to deal with in the early days. And how we've, I guess, managed them or cope with them.
Yeah, nice. Love that. Well, mate, thank you very much. Really enjoyed that chat.
Pleasure. Thank you, mate.
Okay, peeps, hope you enjoyed that conversation with Sam. That was number two, so still got one more to go. That takes us to three, e.g. an episode a month for a quarter. I hope you're enjoying this. Hope you're enjoying the kind of authentic, kind of honest approach that we are taking. Like I say, you know, we're trying to deal with some of the kind of bullshit that's out there on Instagram and TikTok when it comes to starting your own business. And I think a lot of health and safety professionals see starting a consultancy as a natural step. And we kind of wanted to make sure that everyone's aware that it's probably not for everyone and it's really, really hard, but it depends on what type of stress you enjoy and what defines you as a person, I suppose. Ultimately, I hope you're enjoying it. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget to check out Riskfluent
limited.com if you want some help with technical health and safety or the more transformational stuff. Don't forget to connect with us on LinkedIn particularly. That's where we're most active. You can connect with me as well. Everything you need to know, all the links, emails, addresses, everything, websites, blah, 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 in the description below. If you want to get in touch with Sam as well, all of his details and his websites in the description below. Don't forget to check out Orchard Safety, which is Sam's company. Websites in the description below as well. Thank you very much for coming on, Sam. Looking forward to the next episode. I shall catch you all next week. Safe.
The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the host and its guests and do not necessarily reflect the position of the companies. Examples of analysis discussed within this podcast are examples only based on limited and dated open source information and should not be utilised in real life as the only solution available. Assumptions made within this analysis are not reflective of the position of the companies. No part of this podcast may be reproduced, stored, or transmitted in any form or by any means, mechanical, electronic, or otherwise, without prior written permission from James McPherson.